When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, everybody. This is the Cricket Badger podcast.
Each badger marks the track with its own scent.
His black legs are short but very powerful for digging. The name badger probably comes from the French word bêcher, meaning digger.
Moving away from England and
please, can
England.
We? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I just wish we won the Ashes series. That still hurts, James. I must admit.
You deserve to, did you? Yeah, we can go over that again if you want to, but you know.
I'd rather not. Considering we blew 2-0, so we couldn't win bloody one game out of three test matches. But no, we won't go into that. Any chance we can play you this year again, instead of us playing bloody Zimbabwe and Pakistan? I'm gonna love that test series, boy.
I'm glad Zimbabwe are getting a game against you, because when was the last time Zimbabwe played a test match? I mean, kind of going back to the Associate Nations and giving them more matches, then you know, you've given ICC, you've given Ireland, Afghanistan, Zimbabwe have still got test status. Actually, give them some series. I mean, what's the point in having test status and playing once every year or something? It's just pathetic.
If you're going to give them test status, why not actually have them playing test series? And I made this argument, you know, before Ashes, if teams are playing England, like travelling to England to play a test series, why can't they play Ireland? If teams are going to India, like England be going to India, why can't they play Afghanistan?
Africa play Zimbabwe, exactly.
Exactly. Or India is going to South Africa this year, so why can't they play a test against Zimbabwe? I'll never get that.
Just very quickly on that point, and it should be more than just one test match as well, because you'll get an opener who is nervous taking on Australia. You've got Mitchell Starc running in from one end, Josh Hazlewood running in from the other. You might get a Jaffa in your first innings, maybe not even get a chance to bat again in the match. And all of a sudden, your only test appearance against Australia is out for five or something. Whereas at least if you've got a series, you've got the chance to actually learn a little bit from the first test failure and come back a bit stronger in the second test. And the beauty of a test series is the narrative, isn't it? You get, I mean, obviously the Ashes is five matches, but England against India is going to be five. But even a three-match series, you can fail in the first one, come back stronger in the second, and you'll get those little battles between a bowler and a batter. And the bowler's on top at the start of it, the batter fights back, and you know, you got those little plays within a play as the test series continues. A one-off test match, you run the risk of that nation who is the smaller nation getting battered in a one-off test and learning nothing from it.
Yeah. You know, I made a call that Netherlands should give an ICC test status, but hypothetically, no, because they're not going to get test playing time. Well, they're only going to play one test every 2 years, you know. So, you know, I just don't understand why you'd make teams give them a test license and not play them. But anyway, another conversation for another day. Who is
We should finish off, Lucas, by going through the Australian team, because we've kind of mentioned them at the start. And it's fair to actually kind of go through.
No, absolutely. I was going to say to you, who was your most disappointing team outside of England? Who was your most disappointing team in the World Cup outside of England?
I don't know if you've seen the ICC cycle of parity or whatever it was called, where basically they had a big circle with all the 10 teams in it going around. And it was Australia beat India, India beat somebody, India, and everybody beaten somebody as they'd gone through. So that was a good thing about this Cricket World Cup, is nobody went home with a blank, and they all had their day where they could celebrate. Afghanistan were brilliant, weren't they? Getting four wins, I think it was, and threatening the semi-finals for quite a long time. New Zealand always find a way to get towards the latter stages. But if you're looking down towards the bottom end, I mean, obviously the most disappointing team was England. Netherlands were down there with them, but I don't think you can say the Netherlands had a disappointing tournament. I was probably disappointed with Pakistan, because Pakistan did what Pakistan always do. They flatter to deceive, and just as you start to not believe in them, they surprise you and beat somebody. And just as you start to think they're going to do something, they pull out a terrible performance. There's just not that consistency with Pakistan, that their talent. You know, they've got Babar Azam, they've got Shane Sharaf-Afridi, there's Rizzi, you got, you know, some brilliant players in that Pakistan team who are underperforming. We talk about Netherlands playing greater than the sum of their parts. Pakistan play less than the sum of their parts at times. So I think they'll go back home a little bit bruised and battered. And obviously Babar Azam has given up the captaincy now. So remains to be seen how they seem to lurch from one thing to another, though. That's the trouble. If you're going to appoint a captain, actually let him have a the full cycle going through in the ODIs. Shaheen's been appointed as the T20 captain, and Shan Masood's test captain. I didn't see he was going to get the ODI captaincy, but give them the full 4 years. Let them be captain for the full 4 years and make it their team.
We'll see Pakistan in Australia during David Warner's farewell tour. My disappointing team was Bangladesh. They've been around for a long time now. Now, I know once upon a time we would say, oh, they're new. You know, we're past that now. When you've got teams like Afghanistan, Netherlands beating high, you know, mega teams like England, you know, I think it's about time Bangladesh got their finger out the you-know-what and started winning against these bigger teams. I think what they need to do is get rid of their captain, Shakib El Hassan. I think he's the most uninspiring captain I've ever seen. He picks and chooses his series, doesn't look interested at times. Don't get me started with the run out debacle with Angelo Matthews. I think it's time that they've got good players. They have got good players, Bangladesh. They've always had good players.
It's in the rules. So, in the rules, Lucas. Yeah. You can time somebody out. Angelo Matthews should have talked to the umpire.
When I first saw I messaged in the group chat about it. I was very angry by it. And then I saw the replay of it and I was calm again. Then I heard Angelo Matthews explain that his helmet malfunctioned. Well, that's not his fault.
Yeah, but he didn't have to tell the umpires.
Yeah, he should have told.
Angelo Matthews was faffing around, basically on the face of it, looking like he was wasting time. If he'd actually gone up to the umpire and said, look, my strap on my helmet's broken, can you just give us a second? He would have been all right. But he didn't.
If you want to be timed out, then fine. But the arrogance of Shakib El Hassan appealing for it, smiling, actually celebrating it, I thought that was so disrespectful, in my opinion.
I'm not a big fan of Shakib. I've said a few times, some of his petulant outbursts and kind of kicking stumps down.
He's got a history of it. You know, I think in the 2020 game where he picked up the stumps and threw it near an umpire. I think he only got three games for that. That's pathetic within itself. Picks and chooses his series. I don't think that's what a captain should be. And I think Bangladesh should retire him. But they've been in this game a long time now, a long, long time, where they should be performing like Afghanistan and Netherlands are, who've had shorter form, should have been in the game shorter than them. So they were the most disappointing team for me. Outside of Australia, who was your most surprising team?
Afghanistan, I think. We all know they've got Rashid Khan, but I don't think a lot of their success was down to Rashid Khan. I thought Gurbaz at the top of their order was brilliant. They all turned up, and Asmatullah, Hashmatullah in the middle order, seeing them, you know, what potentially were problematic chases at times in their run of success, they just took it in their stride, got it across the line. And I think one Englishman who came out of this, or one former England player who came out of the World Cup with his reputation enhanced, was Jonathan Trott as a coach. I think his work with Afghanistan in basically just kind of simplifying it. You know, I think there's been times in the past, you know, Afghanistan have always had some good players, but there's been times in the past where they've maybe got overexcited at times, and they've maybe chosen the wrong options and thrown away good positions in matches. And Jonathan Trott's just basically said to them, just break it down into chunks, just, you know, if you're chasing 250 to win, be 50 for one or something after 10 overs, be 100 for two after 20, and take it, you know, deal with it in kind of bite size chunks, rather than think of it as 250 and 50. Well, that's a lot of runs to get. And he's obviously worked very well with them, and I think he's come away from the Cricket World Cup with his reputation massively enhanced.
I would completely agree with you on that, if it wasn't for the fielding. I think their fielding of Afghanistan has let them down in the past. They're definitely against Australia. Incredibly, that's the second time in consecutive World Cups where they probably should have beaten Australia in the group stages. And, you know, with the Maxwell Howler, where he hit it to short fine leg and he dropped an absolute sitter, they should have won that game in Afghanistan. So that's why I'm not going to go with them. My surprising thing was Netherlands. I thought they were absolutely fantastic. There was a stat, the best fielding teams, I don't know if you saw it. Australia was one, India was two, and Netherlands was three. I couldn't believe that. Now, in the game against Australia, while they did drop a couple of howlers at the end, the fielding in the early parts was absolutely brilliant. They gave nothing away. And that was like the whole tournament. You know, their ground fielding was unreal. And as you said, with Afghanistan, Netherlands have always had good players. Even in, you know, when they first started in World Cups, a lot of players from Australia, England go down and help them. I think it's a shame we never got to see Ryan Ten Dutchers. That's a name you might be familiar with.
Ted Descarton. South African,
yeah, Descarton, sorry. South African player who played for Netherlands, sadly never got to play Test cricket because they weren't given ICC status. So they've always had good players. And I thought this World Cup, this was the coming of age of Netherlands. I would like to see them back out for the next tournament.
Arjen Dutt, that's the spinner. Yeah. I think his name just came back into my head then. I thought he bowled really well. And, you know, he's only young. They've got a few players in that Netherlands side of kind of Indian heritage who I think enjoyed the World Cup because obviously they were going back and seeing some of their kind of family history and family friends and family indeed. But there was a special World Cup, I think, for Netherlands this. I'd love to have seen them get another win or two, but they came close. And I think, the future's bright for them if they can keep that team together. I mean, Rolla van der Merwe, who is cracking on a bit now, he was brilliant. His fielding was absolutely exceptional as well. If you haven't got quite the same talent as some of your opponents, and obviously if you put that Netherlands side man for man against the Indian team, Australian team, England team, you'd not put any of the Netherlands players probably into the other side, but you can make up for it, can't you? In desire, you can make up for it in feeling, in fitness, in approach, in team togetherness. And yeah, whenever I saw the stuff from behind the scenes during the Cricket World Cup as well, they all seem to be mates. They all seem to be getting on together and backing each other and being there for each other. I think they're a very close-knit group, that Netherlands squad, and that's a very good thing.
When you compare them to a Bangladesh, I just think, you know, Bangladesh should be the team getting close to qualification for these second round or semis. You know, like Afghanistan were in it for a while, Netherlands went for a little bit. They knocked off England. So I'd like to see that from Bangladesh. Money-wise and structure-wise, they're actually a bit better than Netherlands and Afghanistan. So I don't understand it, but they have a captain problem they need to get rid of. And as for Netherlands, you know, they were fantastic. Cannot say anything bad about them. I just hope they can back it up in the next tournament. They have to qualify first. Hopefully they do. But if there was a test license to give, they'd be probably the next in line. But like
trouble
I said...
Trouble is with the way ICC give out test status. They give it out on what the team was doing about 10 years ago. It takes them that long to actually approve somebody for a test status. By the time they get it, a lot of the players who were instrumental in their success in making their case in the first place have moved on. So, I mean, the Ireland have got a little bit of that really at the moment, and a lot of the Irish players who really did lay down a marker for higher status for Ireland have kind of retired since they've got it, and then now got some youngsters and no first class structure really, and struggling to find the next generation. It's you've got to be a bit more snappy. If you see Netherlands thinking, at the moment, the conversation at the ICC should be, oh, Netherlands did really well. We should monitor them over the next 2 years and give them test status quickly, rather than kind of give it to them in 10 years' time when this team's no longer and they've got some, they haven't been able to actually really kind of move it on.
Badgers are furry creatures. 85% of women badgers think bad grooming is a major turn-off. 80% of women badgers think men should trim below the belt. 89% of men think good grooming is essential to their professional success. Don't just dismiss it out of hand. Get on there, manscaped.com. Check out their great range of male grooming accessories. Hygiene, appearance, attractiveness, confidence. Simply go to manscaped.com, quote the discount code BADGER. You get 20% off, you get free shipping, and you get some seriously quality equipment. Manscaped.com. Together, we save balls.
I'm gonna suggest we do something here. I did a team of the tournament, Lucas. I'm going to read it out to you and see if you agree with my team of the Cricket World Cup 2023. My two openers for the team of the tournament were Rohit Sharma, and I made him captain. I thought he was absolutely superb in, I think in the T20 Cricket World Cup, he turned to one of his teammates after they got eliminated and said, we need to be more positive. We need to, because the criticism of India in the past has always been that they were maybe a bit conservative, played within themselves a little bit too much. But Rohit Sharma carried that baton out there for India. He basically told his dressing room, right, we're going to be on the front foot. We're going to, whereas England have taken a step back in their, or probably two steps back in their 50-over cricket, India have taken three or four steps forward in terms of mimicking Owen Morgan's kind of approach to cricket. And Rohit Sharma has been the kind of flag bearer for that, gone out there and got India off to really good starts in this Cricket World Cup. And his opening partner for me, and the wicketkeeper as well, would be Quinton de Kock, who shed loads of runs. Was it four centuries in the tournament? Absolutely. Absolutely brilliant. So they would be my two openers. My Rachin Ravindra, we've not mentioned him. What a performance from the New Zealander. I watched him against England in the summer. Actually said on commentary, this kid's got something about him. He's, the way he plays so straight and he looks so well organised. I certainly didn't anticipate he was going to be one of the leading run scorers in the Cricket World Cup only a few weeks later. He would be my number three. Virat Kohli has got to be in the team of the tournament. He had an exceptional competition. Daryl Mitchell, a fellow Kiwi, had a very good tournament as well. So they would be the five batters in my my World 11. Is there anybody that you would argue with there, or anybody that you would include instead?
I know the stats will probably be overwhelming, but I compared to de Kock and Rohit, but it's hard to ignore Travis Head after what he did in the final. And it wasn't like he only had one good game in the final. When he came back against New Zealand, when he made that 100 as well, absolutely fantastic.
He was man of the match in the semi-final as well, wasn't he?
There's something about Australian players hitting centuries in finals that I really love. This is kind of like a trend. As much as I I agree with Rohit and De Kock. I think De Kock should be in as the keeper regardless. I would probably take Rohit out because at the end of the day, he wasn't the one that won the World Cup. Yeah, his stats are better than Travis Head's, but I feel like Travis Head with that 100 against New Zealand, the 130 in the World Cup final and the man of the match series in the semi. Australia and that semi, Australia were a little bit of a bother with that. And Head, I think, made 60 in that semi-final. That was very crucial because it looked like
those two wickets he took as well were crucial too.
Exactly. So I would have Head in front of Rohit. De Kock, I agree. Mitchell and Ravi Rajendra, I think, completely agree. You know, so I can't fault that at all, but I would have Head instead of Rohit.
Okay. Going into my middle order, I've got Glenn Maxwell as the all-rounder. I don't think anybody can argue with that. I know he can be hit and miss, and I compared him a little bit to Liam Livingstone earlier on in the podcast, but the 100 he scored against Netherlands was just ridiculous. And then that 200 he scored to see Australia across the line whilst he was on no legs, basically. He should have been in hospital, and he was stood there smashing the ball left, right and centre. He has just got something about him, Glenn Maxwell, where on his day he can do things that nobody else can.
Oh, okay. So Maxwell, and who did you say?
Well, I've got him and I put Jadeja in as my spin option, an all-rounder option there. A couple of people came back to me and suggested that I should have put Rashid Khan in there. I don't think Rashid Khan had a particularly fantastic tournament myself.
I can't actually. I actually agree with you on those two. However, mind you, if Afghanistan with that howler catch when Maxwell was on 20, he wouldn't have made that 200. Let's be clear about that. But that's not knock on Maxwell. That's not his fault.
I mean, Majib will be having nightmares about that for the rest of his life, won't he?
You could have caught it with your eyes closed. It looked like you did, as the old saying goes. But
I was commentating on that game, actually, Lucas, and I said at the time he'd got away with a couple of poor shots early on. He was dropped at extra cover by the captain diving to his right, which was a much tougher chance. He was dropped at short fine leg, which was the dolly. He'd had a couple of sort of swings where it had not quite come off, but he got away with it. And I said that there's four or five things right at the start of his innings that weren't very good. And I said, sometimes a player, when you get away with as much as Glenn Maxwell has done in the first 20 kind of minutes of his innings, will be thinking, this is my day today. Yeah, they can't get me out today. So I'm going to basically go and make a big one. And he got a huge one.
I don't have hate for Glenn Maxwell as a batter. I think the real big problem with him is, as you said, he's hit and miss. He's more hit in group stages, but in knockout matches, he's complete disaster. Now I checked up his stats. His averages in knockout matches are very poor compared to his group stage matches. As in any competition, Big Bash, IPL, T20, 50 over, anything. And it kind of proved that. Now, he didn't have to bat in the final, but the semi-final where he played a ridiculous shot, got away with it, and then he played another ridiculous shot against Tamsy. That's Glenn Maxwell, very good in group stages, you know, and then poor in knockouts. But
well, on the basis there were nine group stage matches and only two knockouts, well, he's still in the team of the tournament.
But if they would have dropped Maxwell for the semi final, I wouldn't have been against it, knowing his stats. But obviously they're going to pick him. But no, as actual for the tournament, I actually agree with you on that because stats say he did fantastically well. Ridley's luck, of course. But you can't ignore what he did, especially with that 200. You know, yes, he got that absolute dolly, but what he did after that, struggling with cramps, back spasms, you know, that's absolute courageous. Courageous. That I won't knock him for that, and he fully deserved to be team of the tournament. So I agree with you on that one as well.
I mean, if you're going to pick a moment of the tournament, it was him. It was him that innings, that the pictures of him lying on his back, looking like he was going to be stretched off 1 minute, carrying on to get a double 100 the next. I mean, that I think for most people in this tournament, that you know, some brilliant innings from Rohit and from Virat and others, Travis Head, etc. But the one thing I think people will remember of the Cricket World Cup is Glenn Maxwell's double century. It was just different gravy, wasn't it? It was just bonkers.
He seems to have a knack of having freak accidents and getting injured. That's a little bit suspicious to me, you know, with the beer garden at his house when he missed six weeks of cricket. And then he's missed, you know, that golf carting incident, missed a couple of games. So I think he likes to be a little bit mischief. Just turn it down a little bit, Max, but...
There's nothing wrong with having a bit of fun.
No, but when he seems to get injured by these freak accidents, maybe he just needs to turn it down just a little bit.
So some of the best, in inverted commas, sporting injuries of all time have been... somebody just slipping, getting out of the shower or knocking their head on the coffee table or something like that.
Didn't Johnny Bairstow miss a portion of cricket with golfing when the club broke in his hand?
Well, he broke his ankle. He's still not right off the back of that. Yeah. He's still not right. Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons that Johnny's not been included in the squads for West Indies is because Rob Keyes just said, go away and get yourself sorted and get your ankle strong.
And I sent the Badger a message, and now I'm on the podcast with this jingle. If you would like to get in touch with the Cricket Badger podcast, then tweet @cricket_badger.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
My number 8, 9, 10 and 11, Lucas, in my team. So we've gone, Rohit stroke Travis Head.
Yep.
Quinton de Kock, Rachin Ravindra, Virat Kohli, Daryl Mitchell, Glenn Maxwell, Ravi Jadeja. 9, 10, 11. Mitchell Stark, Mohammed Shami, Adam Zampa, and Madashanka, the Sri Lankan, who had a superb tournament. The question marks I had in response to that was, there were two. No Jasprit Bumrah was the cry. Jasprit Bumrah nearly got in, but he just missed out to Madashanka. I would have no objection with putting Jasprit Bumrah in any side because he's one of my favourite cricketers. I had to go for 11. There's always going to be somebody who misses out. And Jasper got the call and just was told he was 12th man. And the other one was, I had a lot of people towards the end of the tournament. It's going, I announced this just after the Cricket World Cup final. A lot of people said, Pat Cummins. Where's Pat Cummins? He should be in there as captain. He's the Cricket World Cup winning captain. Pat Cummins should be in this team. Well, A, who does he displace? And B, he was the fourth most successful of the Australian bowlers in the tournament. And he came good at the end. And I, as opposed to you, I love Pat Cummins. I think he's a lovely bloke, and I think he's a good player, and I think he's a good captain. But he doesn't quite, because Rohit, that's why Rohit was in. Rohit's in there for his captaincy as well as his opening. Right. Pat Cummins didn't quite make it.
I'm going to address the elephant in the room. I've never hated Pat Cummins, but I don't like him. I don't like him as captain. I said that repeatedly. Now I mentioned this during the Ashes. Since he's been captain, his average as a bowler has gone completely skyrocketed.
This is why nobody was in that airport, Lucas. You've basically encouraged all of Australia to steer clear of him, haven't you?
Got nothing to do with me. I'm just saying.
The parade was cancelled because you stopped it. Yeah.
Just stating facts. That's all I'm doing. Can't argue with stats. I've got no problems with Pat Cummins, the bowler. He's world-class bowler. But since taking over the captaincy, I mentioned this in the Ashes. In the Ashes, he was horrible. It's like you replaced a world-class bowler with an average bowler, and it seems like you replaced an average bowler with a poor bowler the way he's going.
Could I come back at you something? Yeah. World Test champions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drew the Ashes series. Didn't lose the Ashes series. Drew the Ashes series.
Yeah.
And has just picked up a global ICC 50-over tournament. What more could the bloke do?
I get the World Test Championship final. It's the Ashes that hurt me the most when you're up 2-0.
What do you want from him?
Well, James, it's been 25 years since we won in England.
Because England, I'm not
getting
England.
I'm not getting any younger.
Yeah.
And I was 7 last time we won in England.
Lucas. Don't. I mean, if you're going to try and do it in your lifetime, it may be a bit too optimistic. You're never going to win the Ashes in England. You might as well just give up. But it's a pipe dream, man. It's a pipe dream.
We're just waiting for Anderson and Broad to retire. We've already got one of them down, so one down, one to go, and then we'll be fine.
Robinson waiting in the wings.
Not worried about him. I thought he was useless in the Ashes anyway. And Chris Roakes is not that young either. So the next Ashes series in England, let's go. I don't have a problem with him.
Mark Wood will have got up to 160 miles an hour by then.
Yeah, Mark Wood does scare me a bit. But that's about it. That's all you got going is Mark Wood when it comes to bowling stocks, from what I saw. Won the ICC, you know, didn't win the Ashes. Won the World Cup, that's fantastic. But as you pointed out, he was fourth best bowler. He only really had two games in this World Cup. There was one against Sri Lanka.
I mean,
where you look like, wow.
He's only one wicket behind the third best bowler. So he was in good company.
Yeah. Yeah, stats say he had but he had one good game against Sri Lanka, and then at the end, you know, the semi and the final, you know, back to his old self. But the rest of the group stage matches, he was awful. Now,
We spoke earlier about Joss Butler, and how difficult it is to rally the troops when you're not doing very well. They had a poor preparation for this Cricket World Cup. They lost the first two group games. A lot of captains, a lot of teams would have fallen apart off the back of that start. Pat Cummins, with his mastery of captaincy, got his team together, Lucas. He galvanised that Australian dressing room. He got the best out of the players in there. His bowling changes in the final were exceptional. He's won the World Test Championship. He's not been beaten in the Ashes. And he's lifted the ICC Cricket World Cup 2023. What more do you want this bloke to do?
You keep mentioning the word retain in the Ashes. Like that actually means something to me. It means nothing to me. You should know that by now.
Well,
I don't want to retain the Ashes.
Hands it back then.
Well, you did. Damn it, you up 2-0 against this so-called Bazball. How did that get into this conversation? And you blow it. No, this World Cup, I'll give him credit. You know, he won the World Cup. He was down 2-0, if you want to put it like that. And he's galvanised his team. Absolutely no hate on that. 100% credit. I don't like him as captain because he's impacting his bowling. And the stats say that.
I just think you're jealous of him. All right. He's tall. He's good looking. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got a young family. He's got loads of money. He's the best captain Australia have seen in recent times. And you just can't handle it, can you?
I can't handle him being captain, no. But I want the world class Pat Cummins bowler back. That's all. That's all I'm asking. That's all I want. That's all I want. Hands up. That's all I want. And I don't think we're going to get that ever. See that again while he's captaining. I think it should go back to Steve Smith and let Pat Cummins. Or if you don't want Steve Smith, give it to Travis Head or Labuschagne. Shane. But Pat Cummins, you know,
please, Lucas, give it to Travis Head by all means. But Labuschagne, honestly, he doesn't stop talking. He's now, if he's captain, he's going to be. I mean, it's not possible for him to talk anymore, is it? But there's a little video I saw even the other day. It's like, oh, what did he do on holidays? He's rattling away from kind of short leg or mid wicket. Honestly,
well, at least you know he'll never have a letdown. He's always going to talk.
I've seen him interviewed. He's actually quite a nice young man when he's interviewed away from the game. But when he's on the pitch, he turns into an absolute...
I've met him in a show. I actually have met Labuschagne. I'll show a photo later. I've taken a photo of Labuschagne, met him. I've had a good five-minute conversation at a Sheffield Shield game when he was in Adelaide, when he was playing for Queensland against South Australia a year ago. Kind of shy, kind of really shy when you speak to him. I couldn't get any... Maybe he's still like me. I wouldn't be the first player. But I couldn't get a word out of him. I was trying to talk to him for 5 minutes. I couldn't get a single word out of him. And then he goes onto the field and you can hear him from 10 rows back.
Never shuts up, does he?
Yeah. credit for Pat Cummins, absolutely credit. But I want that world-class bowler back. I think in order to beat India, we need the world-class Pat Cummins back in order to beat the big man.
Off the back of success, Lucas, we said earlier, your captaincy can reflect on your play. And off the back of growing as a captain and winning the World Test Championship and winning the 50-over World Cup, it's not going to make him a worse player, I don't think. It's not going to make him a worse player.
You are listening to the Cricket Badger Podcast.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Back to your team of the tournament, I would have had the South African pacer. Yeah, I think he's only, isn't he only 19, 20 years old?
He was playing in the under 19, the last under 19 Cricket World Cup. Which was only about 18 months ago, I think.
I thought that was a fantastic. I would have had him over the Sri Lankan. Again, he was fantastic, but at that young age to show that speed and that skill set with the ball at that young age, he's definitely one to watch. I hope he seriously gets picked for the Indian series on Boxing Day. In the test series?
That semi-final between Australia and South Africa was a cracker, wasn't it? And he when he had the ball in his hand, he still felt that South Africa could go bang, bang, bang and finish off Australia.
I loved his, at that young age, with his attitude and that skill set, I thought, unbelievable. He is definitely one to watch. South Africa have a knack of having world-class fast bowlers, so it looks like they've just found another one. So I would have had him.
Yeah. And amazingly, he probably wouldn't have got his chance if Anrit Noorkeer had been fit. And don't get me wrong, Anrit Noorkeer is a cracking bowler and probably would have done just as well. But he probably wouldn't have played, would he? So he would have been in the squad, I would imagine, but not actually playing. So it would be, it's amazing how twists and turns, sliding doors moments. I mean, Anrit Noorkeer gets injured and Gerald Seer comes in and performs brilliantly.
I only disagree with two of your picks, which is Travis Head over Rohit Sharma, and the bowling. So that's about it.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put Travis Head in as the opener. Rohit Sharma stand down, and we'll bring Pat Cummins in for Madashankar, and he can captain the team and lead you to glory. Because he's the best captain in the tournament because he lifted the trophy, didn't he? I think Rohit Sharma is a brilliant captain. I follow the Mumbai Indians in the IPL and I just love the way he is so measured and calm and you can't tell if they're winning or losing. He just, and very tactically astute. Maybe he wasn't quite as good in the final as he had been in the rest of the tournament, but I think as a captain, if I was going to pick a captain to lead a team that I picked out of all the players available in this Cricket World Cup, it would be Rohit, I have to say.
No, I completely agree. And we'll probably see him captaining the test team in Australia in 2 years' time in that series. I thought he was fantastic in the Indian series against Australia anyway, when he was captain. So that was a big test for him. They won that series. And it'll be a big test for him against England. Mind you, I think India are going to win 5-0. But I know I've said that before, haven't I?
That might be the case when England go to India in the new year.
I've said that 5-0 before, but I feel that's going to happen. But
they would. I mean, Travis said obviously he comes in as you stand out in the last two matches, and obviously played the good innings earlier on in the. In terms of maybe your top three Australians in this tournament to round off with, who would you give the bronze, silver, and gold medals to?
Well, the two up the top, pretty obvious. I would have gone obviously with Travis Head, number one. Instead of going, I was going to go David Warner, but I'll go with Adam Zampa because he was, I think, the highest wicket taker. Mm. Number three, this might be a surprising one. I'm going to go with Labuschagne. I don't understand the criticism he took throughout this tournament. He does go slow, but there were certain parts where he was very crucial. And statistically, he was probably our top four batsmen outside Warner, Maxwell, and head in that. So I don't understand the criticism he took. Yes, he goes slow. Yes, he's kind of different. He likes to set an innings up. But I think there were certain parts in that tournament where we need to steady the ship. As you mentioned with Joe Root, someone just to steady the ship. And I think Labuschagne did that extremely well.
Every team needs a glue player, because if you end up with a load of attacking players who fall flat on their face one day, you only use 25 of your 50 overs. You need a player to kind of provide that spine of your innings. It doesn't have to be somebody that does it with all of the X factor and bells and whistles. It's just, you know, somebody just bats fairly sensibly.
The opposite, the three that I've found the most disappointing, number one, without a doubt, Steve Smith. And that pains me to say that, but he was awful. He had an awful time. I think he only made 150, and that was at the early game too. Apart from that, he was absolutely dreadful. I still don't know why he was picked. Number two, I would go with Cameron Green, in and out, in and out. He's been, for all the hype, this is why I don't like Cameron Green. People say, oh, he's from WA, don't like WA players. Absolutely not at all. The biggest disappointment why I don't like Cameron Green is the hype around him. When you have commentators like Greg Chappell say he's the best since Ponting, now people are saying Mark Taylor's saying he's a once in generation player, and then he doesn't live up to it. You know, that's the most disappointing thing. I don't want to hate Cameron Green, but the reality is he's not a good cricketer. He's very average at this moment. He had one good innings in India where he made that 100 in the Test series, but he was awful in the Ashes series. He was not good in this World Cup. So I don't know how many chances you want to give to this guy. The other one I thought that was up and down was Mitch Marsh. That would be my third. Made a fantastic 100 against, I think, in the earlier couple of games.
Oh, that's harsh, mate. I think that's harsh.
Yeah, but again, he says his best position is number three. I've seen three games where he's played three poor shots and gave away his wicket. That's not what a number three. If he wants to play number three, by all means, play number three. I've got no problems with that. But you're there also to be an all-rounder. And he doesn't
isn't
even
his
bowl.
His role on that side, if wherever he bats in the top three, isn't Mitch Marsh's role to be almost, I mean, he's better than a pinch hitter. Pinch hitter kind of does him down. But to go out there and basically give it a bit of a larrup, and when you play that kind of way and you have that kind of role, you are going to be hit and miss.
Yeah, that's the real problem with those two. It's hit and miss. One day they can play lights out, absolutely look well beaters, and the next they're just disappointing. And I think those two, more probably Cameron Green and Mitch Marsh is in his 30s. I think he can learn a lot from Travis Head, you know, just playing positive innings cricket right throughout the Greco, especially in the test format, where it takes him 25 deliveries to get off strike, for God's sake. Damn it, just hit the damn ball. I think he's still a good player, but it's just consistency is just awful. And that's what I have a huge problem with Cameron Green. It's not because he's from WA. I don't give a damn if he's from South Australia. I don't give a. I love my Sheffield Shield team, which is South Australian Redbacks, which is the county version of Australian domestic cricket. I love my Redbacks. So I go to Adelaide Oval games as match times as I can. I've gone to four games this year. I have to pay $10. If Sacco are listening, this is going to get you absolute you-know-what together. $10 to watch Mediocre, because they haven't won a Sheffield Shield final since 1996. And expect me to pay $10.
What's $10 about? 3 pence? That's not very much, is it?
Well, we're not when you're stinking up the joint for 5 years.
You want to live in England. It costs you that to just park your car.
I blame your best mate for what's going on with the Redbacks. That's Jason Gillespie as the coach. I blame him for this madness.
All right, we're finishing this. If you're going to start criticising Dizzy, you can't criticise Dizzy.
I understand what he did at Yorkshire. It was fantastic. But geez, at the Redbacks, damn it, you got to get your stuff together, Mr. Gillespie. World-class bowler, don't get me wrong, but please, we're stinking up the joint right now in the Redbacks. Do something, man.
He's an absolute legend, Jason Gillespie, and I'll have nothing bad said about him. Wash your mouth out, Lucas, please. Wash your mouth out.
No hate towards Jason Gillespie. If he's watching this, absolutely no hate, mate. But damn it, do something about the Redbacks. Fix your top order, please. Otherwise, I'll come in and I'll fix it my damn self. That's all I'm saying.
Well, there's an offer you can't refuse, Diz. If you're watching this, there's an offer you can't refuse. You can have Lucas if you want him. I'm going to take him off this podcast now because you can't have Jason Gillespie being criticised on the Cricket Badger podcast.
No disrespect. I love Jason Gillespie. I love you, Dizzy, if you're watching. But Dan, we've got to fix that cricket team somehow.
Anyway, Lucas and Dizzy and all Australians, congratulations for your win at the Cricket World Cup 2023. And lucky commiserations to our Indian watchers. Gaurav being one of them, I'm sure he was crying his eyes out. I was watching some of the interviews outside the ground the other day after the game had finished, and it was just a sea of very, very somber Indian faces just walking out of that ground, having had their dreams denied them. And that your time will come, as I said to somebody on Twitter the other day. You've got a very, very fine side there. You've got some of the best players in the world, some of my favourite players to watch in cricket in that Indian cricket team. Your global success will not be too far away. And it's days like that Cricket World Cup final that make you appreciate the good days around the corner. You know, every sporting fan has days where it doesn't quite work your way. Sport can be a cruel mistress, can't it? When things are going well, it can be brilliant and all sunshine and smiles. It can kick you in the balls sometimes, and it can hurt. But you will be back, India. You will be back, and you will enjoy it when it comes even more after the disappointment the other day.
I got no doubt they'll be back. The only thing that is more funny than seeing Indian tears is English tears. I'll get to see that in the new year when they'll play in India when they get belted 5-0. Don't you worry about that. I'll look forward to that test series, James. I'm sure we're going to do that every single match. Don't worry about that.
Well, just as I was trying to finish it on a nice high, he comes in with his just nastiness and his negativity. So congratulations to all Australians, apart from Lucas, on your Cricket World Cup success. See you very soon, Cricket Badgers. Gaurav Anandian's YouTube site is out there as well. Put a link to his YouTube site on the podcast information as well. And we will see you all again very soon indeed. See you soon, everybody.
Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.